Loving Liberty Network is excited to present Ask an Immigrant, a weekly radio show by Lydia Wallace Nuttall and immigrants from all over the world who share their personal stories as to why they came to America. Lydia is the author of Forgotten American Stories, Celebrating America's Constitution, and an executive board member for We the Kids, with the mission to put God back into America's history and to inspire kids to value liberty and our United States Constitution and to be proud to be Americans.
Welcome, everyone, to Ask an Immigrant, dedicated to helping us and our rising generation to value, to have gratitude for, to appreciate what we have here in America, this great country of ours. I'm proud to be an American, and you can be too. And we do this by interviewing immigrants to America and finding out their story. Why did they leave their native country and everything behind that was familiar to them to come to America? So today we have with us on Ask an Immigrant, Carl Kovar. And Carl, welcome to Ask an Immigrant. Tell everyone where you're from. Where's your native country?
My native country is Slovakia, which is former Czechoslovakia. Some people remember it better by Czechoslovakia. But in about 1992, we split and Czech Republic split from Slovakia. So now we're two different countries.
Which is amazing because I do remember when it used to be Czechoslovakia. And so, Carl, I know Czechoslovakia. Let's educate everyone as far as where it is, because I knew it was in Europe. I just didn't know where exactly. And I remember when I first met you, you had me find out and then memorize the six countries that surround Slovakia. Do you remember that?
I do.
So, okay, so I'm going to go by memory. I did everyone brush up on this. So Poland is to the north of Slovakia. Then you going around clockwise. Then you have Ukraine, Romania, Hungary is to the south. Then you have Austria, and then the Czech Republic. That, yeah, as Carl said, used to be part of
one more, Slovakia. Actually, I can take one out. Romania is a little further down through Hungary, half past Hungary. So we don't have. We don't have a border with Romania. So on the south, we have Hungary on the southeast and Austria on the southwest. And then Germany on the west side, a little bit of a north side as well.
Really? So Germany borders Slovakia. Okay. All right. Whatever map I was looking at was not correct. It needed to be updated.
Yeah.
Or something. So, everyone, that's where Slovakia is. So, Carl, share with us anything about your memories of being in Slovakia. It'd be fun to learn anything like, for instance, what maybe your favorite food is like, the terrain, the weather, schools, the people, anything you think we'd find interesting. Go for it.
Well, yeah, I grew up in a family, normal family. With strong values, family values, hardworking ethics. My dad was a doctor, orthopedic surgeon. My mom was an elementary teacher. And I have three other siblings. I'm a twin. I have a twin sister and two older brothers. So we grew up pretty in a simple way. We had everything we needed as far as food or do things, you know. As you know, I remember again to people that we grew up under a socialist country regime. So a lot of things were free, which, you know, some ways maybe was a good thing until we grow up. And when we grew up, we start, you know, feeling different ways about socialism or communism, whatnot, the freedom of speech and other things were coming in the way. Anyway, so we, as far as food or traditions, are very similar to Poland or Hungary. We like pork a lot in our country. We like sort of dumplings that we make in Slovakia and Czech Republic, very traditional dumpling dish with sort of a cottage cheese and bacon crumbs.
Mm.
Very, very.
I love
delicious.
Bacon.
Yeah, or we can subsidize the cottage cheese and put some sauerkraut with those dumplings and also put some bacon in it and stuff like that. So that's pretty very traditional food. A lot of potatoes, mashed potatoes.
Yum.
And some salads on the side and a lot of soups. Basically, we always had soup for lunch. And that's very traditional for, I think, all European countries. Soup must be at least once a day, which, you know, gives you, yeah.
That's awesome. That's like, you got to have your American French fries every day, right?
Yeah, maybe not every day.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thanks for sharing that. So you did touch on, okay, so those are your, what you remembered from your, when you used to live there, especially childhood. How old were you when you came to America? Well, no, maybe how old were you when you started? You touched on how, as you became older, kind of came out of childhood, that you started realizing, there's some things about this socialism that I'm living in. And you mentioned freedom of speech.
So as a element, you know, little boy in elementary school, everything was very simple. Great, you know, friendships. We didn't have to, you know, do much. We just lived our lives. We didn't realize a lot of things, what was happening around us. Once I got probably about middle school-ish, where, you know, a lot of, some people traveled abroad, Western countries, with jobs or, you know, with sports. That was, you know, two things that you could probably escape and kind of go away to and start seeing other countries, Western countries, you know, and not the not the Eastern countries. So that's where people coming back, you know, you share a lot of information with them and you start, you know, debating things that are happening.
You start learning something.
Yeah.
Like they show you the window outside, what it's like outside the window.
They show you what you can buy, you know, the materialistic stuff, you know, but then you know, they also tell you, you know, you live free, you can, you know, you can build your, you know, go up to your potential as a, whatever you want to do, whatever profession you desire to do. So which, you know, later in the years, that was problematic in socialistic countries where I grew up.
So what was it then, as you started learning from people that went outside of Slovakia to the Western countries, I just started learning and being able to compare, that's what they have over there, and this is not what we have over here. What kind of triggered then your thoughts that maybe you wanted to go somewhere else, that you yourself wanted to leave Slovakia?
So as I grew up, you know, middle school, then I go to high school and so forth. So my passion, you know, I was 4 years old. I started figure skating with my sister. And, you know, that was really my passion. And I wanted to pursue figure skating even beyond competitive figure skating. And that actually, as far as me looking at opportunities in Slovakia, where I was, I started thinking, you know, leaving Slovakia one day and pursue my dreams as a coach and teacher.
So Slovakia did not open that door was not open to you in Slovakia. I mean, what if you had stayed in Slovakia? What would it have been like then for you?
Well,
as
there, you know, opportunity. There's only so many people can kind of pursue in certain areas, whether you want to be coach or you want to be any profession you want to be. Okay. So
why is that?
It's a small country.
Okay.
And people, the competition there to get a job is where I grew up. And that was another thing that really bothered me. Everything was based on who, you know, go around, you know, things.
Mm.
Oh, either to people, connections you have.
Yeah.
Or some way bribery, actually, I would say.
Oh, dear.
help you to, pursue where you want to be, or profession you want to be, where you want to go, unfortunately.
Bribery. Well, yeah, that is unfortunate. That would be hard, especially if you didn't have the means to even bribe someone with. Then what? You can earn it on your own merits. You can rise up on your own merits. You had to have something else. Wow.
Yeah.
So then how old were you when you started looking at leaving, you think?
Well, so after high school, we were offered to go to Russia. Our figure skating federation had a foreign exchange student kind of a program back then between Russia and other socialist countries. And obviously, we know that Russia has really good sports and figure skating as well. So we applied to go to Russia with my sister to go to college, the College of Sport and Physical Education in St. Petersburg, Russia. So we applied there. We got it, and we trained there. We lived there for about 3-4 years, until we finished college.
So were you like in your –
I was in my 20s.
Early 20s? Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I was 19 through like 23-ish.
Wow.
In fact, that was just – well, first 2 years, 3 years – it was still, heavy communism there. It was way harsher than where I grew up or how I grew up, to be honest. So I learned a lot of stuff there, and I appreciated way more after I came back, to be honest.
What made it harsher? Can you give us an example of what made living in Russia?
Living the way they live, the way... to obtain food, for instance, basic stuff that you want to go to grocery stores and you have to stay in line for hours. When they get
really like the general population had to do that.
-20 below. Very, pretty brutal, actually. So
wow.
Yeah. So not enough produce products. Way less. What I remember where I grew up. Okay, so
store here and saw how many types of breakfast cereal we had,
right,
you probably would have dropped your jaw.
So that's what I'm saying. I started appreciating a lot of things when I came back, even back to Slovakia, which was in the same, category, socialist country, but not as harsh, not as bad, I would say. So yeah, just stuff like that really made me hopefully stronger and more appreciative of things that I have and that we have in Slovakia, and also what I want to do in the future.
So you mentioned something about freedom of speech. What was different about freedom of speech?
Yeah, that was interesting too, because we, grew up under Communist Party there, which were best friends with Russia and other socialist countries in Europe, Poland and Hungary and so forth, Romania, Bulgaria. We had to be careful, really, what we say about Russia or Communist Party or anything politically had to be correct in the way that we support, Russia or the system that we
otherwise
live.
What would happen?
Trouble, especially people in the positions, higher positions, like my dad, for instance. He was a chief of staff for orthopedic orthopedic surgeon. He had to be a member of Communist Party, unfortunately.
Wow.
And
wow.
So in a way, he had to be careful what he say, when he says it and whatnot. And we as his children also kind of we've been a little under scrutiny as well. We just could get in trouble. You get e-done, you get a reminder not to say things, and if you would push buttons and say a lot of bad things, then you can really get in trouble.
How, like, were your buildings bugged, or did you have just people that you didn't know who'd be lurking around corners, or what?
They had these little people amongst other people, like little spies or whatnot. You know, in certain positions, and they were delivering information, like informants, let's say. Okay.
Yeah.
Informants.
Yeah.
Okay. And I remember just an instance. My sister went to Kuwait for exhibition as a figure skater with her old partner, and they were in Prague at the airport, and then they were watching Russian military movie. There are a lot of those back then where we grew up, a lot of military movies, and you know, it's kind of dark.
That's interesting. Not much selection, right?
Just too much of it. So my sister just threw a comment in there, oh, another stupid military Russian movie. And somebody there who was watching within the team, the skating team that was flying with them, you know, overheard it, and she got reprimanded pretty deeply.
Wow.
About that.
Who did the reprimanding? Was it your coach or the one that's over of you?
My sister, for her comments.
I know, but who did the reprimanding? Who reprimanded her?
One of the officials there. It was a judge or team leader. A team leader, yeah.
And so, if it persisted, like let's say she just kept persisting, did you hear of or know of people who just persisted, kept getting caught or whatever? And
a lot of people randomly like this. So, you know, just have to be careful. If you really keep repeating same thing over and over and saying, you can really get in big trouble. And they could take you out of the team or whatnot, or your job. Period.
Yeah, you lose your job. Whoa. And then could you get another job, or were you like blacklisted?
I'll be downgraded. Basically, again, I can give you a little example. My uncle, he was a biophysicist, and he was ranked pretty high, but he didn't get the title of professor. To get a title of professor, it's really hard, okay? You have to study for years and years and whatnot. And because he was not a part of the Communist Party, he never got that.
Oh.
Highest recognition to be a professor as a biophysicist at the Veterinarian Institute, actually. So, so just an example. So you just stagnate, or you just get to a certain level. And
that's as far as you can progress.
That's as far as you can go.
Wow. So then how old were you then when you came to America, and what was the process? And did your sister come with you, or did you come by yourself? Did you know anyone here? How did that work?
So I did not come with my sister. We traveled after 1992, when the border kind of opened in Slovakia and Europe, and we can finally start travel freely, whatnot. My sister decided to stay home and pursue other things. And then the skating was my dream, my passion. So I applied to Disney on Ice here in the United States.
Ah, Disney on Ice.
Yeah, after my competitive career. So, and send a video in, and within a month or so, I was hired. So I came here in 1995 as a member of Disney on Ice, and traveled the world with them for 3 years. Actually, not 1990. Yeah, for 5 years. Sorry, for 5 years, from 1995 to 2000. And meanwhile, I was there in Disney on Ice. I started working on my green card, whatnot, hired a lawyer, and, you know, did it all my way, the proper way, the legal way.
Yay! We're so happy you became a legal American citizen,
right? I appreciate it very much. That's what, you know, I can't even tell you how proud of I am to be an American and that I'm here. And I did it on my own.
That's such an awesome experience for you to share with us. Thank you. I still have a few more questions, so don't think you're off the hook yet. I want to find out, what was it like for you, since we're on the subject of you becoming an American citizen, when you first took the oath of citizenship?
I remember that. I have a flag here. I have a big eagle here. Somebody gave me from my family. It was March 31st, 2005.
Oh, my goodness.
When I became a U.S. citizen. We were in downtown Salt Lake City. I think it's a Capitol Theater, I believe.
Okay.
There are a lot of people, hundreds of people there. And my wife.
To watch or that were taking the oath with you?
Were there
hundreds of people there taking the oath, or there to support you?
Yeah, we're on the stage, and we're taking oath there on the stage, and families and whoever can be in the audience and cheering you up and supporting you.
And you mentioned your wife.
Yeah,
it was a big day.
Yes, big day and very proud day for me.
And you mentioned your wife. You're married, and because I know you personally, Carl has two beautiful children, a boy and a girl, who are just getting way big. Tell us just a little bit. How did you meet your wife?
So my wife is American. As I was in skating in Disney on Ice, we met there while we were traveling overseas.
So she's a skater too.
She's a skater as well. She was born in Minnesota. And later on, 5 years later, when we decided to move on from Disney on Ice, we came here to Ogden in 2000.
Woohoo! Ogden, Utah, everybody.
Years. Yeah. So.
And
that's
then they.
Short how it was.
And you both teach, you're both skating coaches, which is awesome.
Skating coaches. Yep. Our children are 15-year-old son, 12-year-old daughter. They both figure skate, and they're very talented. We'll see where it takes them, but we support them 100% what they do. If they want to do it, we'll steer them the right direction.
Yeah, which is wonderful. They definitely are talented skaters. I've watched them, and it just blows my mind, but that's what you get when you have a mom and a dad who both are passionate about skating and are both coaches and know others that can teach and get your kids connected with training, and your kids love it. And so would you say, if I describe the American dream as being able to pursue happiness and be able to prosper and create the kind of life that you want for yourselves, would you say that you found the American dream here in America?
In my case, I certainly did. I did pursue my dreams and came here, and I'm doing what I love and I'm passionate about. And I think I'm a successful coach. And I think it has, the job I do it for everyone. It's not selectively I'm choosing one person over the other. I teach all different levels, whether it's a little child that wants to learn just basic skills, or a competitive skater, or adult skater, or any level. So it gives me perspective of teaching everybody who wants to learn how to skate, or whatever level they want to reach. So it gives me opportunity also to have more clients and
help a lot of people too. Like, I remember you had a special needs.
Yeah.
You had your special needs student once upon a time too.
I mean, anybody who wants to learn how to skate, period. So, seems to be working here very well. I mean, always have, you know, you got to, as a private contractor, you know, you have to work on it on a daily basis. But I think I've been successful here with my wife. And
I love
we had
that.
Very, very good opportunity here to grow. Yeah. So
do you feel then you mentioned in Slovakia and especially in Russia, there was only so far you could go unless you belong to the Communist Party. You kind of just couldn't grow anymore. Do you feel that at all here in America? That you have to do certain things or, you know, there's a lid or a roof over your head that you can't go farther than this level?
You certainly have to follow certain guidelines and rules. I mean, sports or, you know, they belong to some organizations. Our figure skating is governed by U.S. Figure Skating Federation. So we have to follow certain guidelines. Maybe not in the way probably as we had to there when I grew up. Everything was free, so obviously coaches were pressured to get some results from the athletes and so forth. Here, you know, we do what we can, and we're not pressured by any means. So we get there, and we don't. And again, everybody has different ideas about what they want to do in figure skating. Yeah.
But they're free to choose, and in essence, you're kind of a facilitator. You help them achieve whatever their American dream is when it comes to figure skating, at whatever level that is.
When I grew up in Slovakia, it was all about competitive skaters. Competitive skating, results. Not much about on the broader aspect for people, you know, open up door for anybody who wants to just learn skating or just skating, period. So
that wasn't an option.
Narrowed down to more of a competitive skate. That's why we didn't have that many. That's why you know, only so many coaches could do that as well.
Yeah.
So it wasn't very open-minded that way.
So is there something that you left behind in Slovakia? This is a two-part question. Is there something that you left behind in Slovakia that you miss? And the second part of the question is there something you left behind in Slovakia that you really don't miss? And I would assume everything we've been talking about, like not being able to progress, having a lid over your head, you definitely don't miss that.
We figured out what I don't miss. I miss my family.
Who do you have back there?
It's only me here. So I have two brothers that I mentioned, a sister and my mom's 92-year-old mom still living.
How old?
I'm 92. So
92.
I miss them dearly. But I, you know, nowadays with technology and whatnot, I call them every day. So I miss definitely my family. I miss the history of countries. European countries, as you know, have a lot of deep history in centuries.
They do.
I miss that buildings. I miss going places and you see ruins. You see the history right there on your hands. I miss that nature. Just more season there and being there for, as I said, centuries. I miss that.
That's true. We're quite a young country in comparison to all of Europe, really.
And what I don't miss, I already mentioned, okay, but times have changed. Now that, you know, Slovakia is now free country, pretty much. Belongs to Europe, it's in the European Union, they're NATO. I mean, but with that, as we know, you know, capitalism kind of divides people a little bit in different layers, as you know, a little bit more. When I grew up, we didn't have that. Okay,
you were more one. So you were all like one social.
So you have people that somehow pursue and become rich, and then you have older people now. They don't, you know, elderly people that already don't work. They just live from pension. Middle class kind of disappearing a little bit there.
In Slovakia?
What's noticed in Slovakia, Yeah. So it's not very strong. It's not very strong, unfortunately. So if people earning it really on the lower end are then or very, you know, rich people became rich again because of somebody they know or
bribes,
briberies. I'm interested. It's going. Yeah, it's going on there as well. I do not definitely miss that. And people's another thing I don't really miss is people are more in Europe. Period. Very conservative in communication to others. I would say when you go down the streets or you don't talk to people unless you really know them. It's not like hi or just random stuff or helping from seeing somebody, I don't know, being in trouble or need some help. People are not so forthcoming.
Wow.
Yeah. Interesting.
That's interesting. So they're more hesitant to reach out to others. They're more isolated individuals than the community, a sense of community, a sense of togetherness.
Yeah, and it's more like, you know, in a way now because of the, you know, basically we are a capitalist country already, and some people cannot handle it very well. And I think you're, a lot of them are selfish, to be honest, to help others or whatnot.
Yeah. That's interesting. Do you think it's because, I'm just whipping this out here, do you think it could be that if you had want, you needed things in your life because they just weren't there, and now you have those things that you kind of want to hoard them in case you don't have them again, like people who've experienced hunger. I've experienced not firsthand, but through a relative of mine who was helping the Afghan refugees recently here in America. And she said that they are so used to hunger there that when they'd come here and we were feeding them three meals a day plus a separate building that had snacks that they could access whenever they wanted, that they all just started putting food away in pockets and wherever they could to because they didn't know where the next meal would come from. So do you think that has anything to do with how people don't share or you know, maybe that's some of it, maybe there's something else.
Honestly, I do not think because we did not grow up in a country like Afghanistan, you know, Middle Eastern, where it's really way, way poorer than where I grew up. I mean, we had everything we needed, really poor. As far as food or doing things, we did not experience any shortage. Obviously, you know, we had necessities, what we needed. We didn't have beyond on, you know, when you go to a grocery store here, whatnot, but we had enough. So we did not. It's just something in their blood, something in the traditions of these European countries. In general, they're more protective of their countries and their descent, so to speak. So I think it's something to do with that.
Well, Carl, it has been a pleasure having you share this part of your life with us. I do have one more question. And that is, if you could give our American young people and older people like me a 1 minute message today, what would it be?
Well, I've been thinking about it actually. And I do think about it once in a while. What's happening in the world nowadays with the technology, you know, being so overwhelming for everybody, whether you're an older generation or you're young generation. So, but I would say this. I would love for people to appreciate what they have. Small things, appreciate. Small things. They have family. They have friends. And they have health, and that's health is really important, as we know. And for them to, you know, pursue their dreams, work hard, you know, having nice, good, strong work ethics and find ways to enrich themselves spiritually or, you know, on any level. and try to maybe preserve the good, strong values that makes us good people and citizens. That's what I would, you know, put the message out there for everybody, whether you...
I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you. Is there anything else you want to share? Anything else that comes to mind before we wrap it up?
I think that's it. Yeah.
There's so much more to Carl, but yeah, that's where I just value very much your time and being able to share your life, what it was like in Slovakia and also Russia, and then what it's like here for you and how blessed you feel to be an American.
Yeah, so yeah, you know, I put it out there because see, where I grew up under the same regime as Russia, but it wasn't the same, okay? So the country is very actually from each other. So I think hopefully people understand this, that, you know, that there are differences as well, how we grew up.
Right. Well, I definitely, after listening to what you shared, appreciate what I have and the blessings I've experienced here being an American. So thank you so much. You've definitely deepened the gratitude that I have. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening to Carl Kovar from Slovakia. And we invite you to join us next time when we interview another immigrant from another foreign country and finding out why they left everything behind and came to America. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time.